what is true faith in God? Jesus told his disciples a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said in a certain city, there was a judge who had no respect for God or anyone else. And in that city, it says a certain widow woman kept coming and asking justice from her opponent. We don't really know who the opponent was or what the opponent was that was standing for an injustice of some other way. Yet, but the judge is saying, I'm so tired of this nagging widow. I'm going to grant her justice just to get her off my back. Then the Lord said, listen to me, what the unjust says. Will God grant justice to the righteous that pray continually and wait on God? If the unjust judge will, what about God? He'll quickly grant justice to his chosen ones. And I like the way that this closes in verse 8. And I want you to think about it because this is the crux of the whole sermon. Yet when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? So the judge is thinking, I have an agenda. And this person is not on my agenda. She's crowding me. She's making me do something I don't want to do. But this passage reminds us of what we've been talking about in the last couple of weeks. We talked about Timothy and his mentor, the Apostle Paul. Remember when he tells Timothy to always pray for all people, especially for people that are in positions of authority, positions in the government, positions in the church, positions in the community. Pray for all people, especially those that have been given a charge over something or someone else. Perhaps you are one of those people. And if that's the case, maybe I should pray for you. Yet if you're not, does that mean we should not pray for you? What about people that have authority in their own home? What about people that have authority over their own lives? I think God is telling us to pray for each other. Every one of you have authority over something, even if it's the authority the way that you live your lives. I think that's the thing that Jesus means when he says, yet when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Yet what else does he mean? What else does it mean? Let's tweak this out a little bit. Paul tells us to continue in the practice we have learned. Paul's telling Timothy, continue in that practice. And he's telling us, continue in your lifestyle of prayer and value for others around you. For others. Whatever the church and church leaders have taught and worked with you on, continue and be persistent, whether it's a favorable time or in an unfavorable time. Then he says, this is very important. It's often misinterpreted. All scripture is inspired by God. And it's useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. So everyone who believes in God should be proficiently equipped for every good work. So pray for your teachers. Pray for your Sunday school teachers. Pray for your pastor. Pray for your bishop. Pray for your deacons. Pray for your friends that have led you on your journey to God. Pray for other pastors in our community. Pray for pastors and rectors in charge of the churches of our diocese. Jesus told his disciples also that they needed to pray always and not lose heart. God tells us in other places to pray without ceasing. What does that mean, to pray without ceasing? Even though you don't know and you can't see, you can't comprehend the answer to your prayer, keep praying. Because sometimes that prayer comes back to you. Listen, sometimes that prayer comes back to you and answers in unexpected ways and unexpected times and maybe in a totally unexpected response. And here's another way that Jesus may be referring to when he says, Yet when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Here's something to consider too. Sometimes God says, I want you to be the hands and the feet on your prayers. If you're calling out for change in your community, change in our church, change in some important area in our world that means so much to you and to us, if you want change and you want to see something better, pray for it. But better yet, let that prayer bring you to getting involved in an answer to that prayer. Let that prayer bring you to a place where you get involved and you're actually part of the answer to that prayer. Maybe you're not only to pray for change, but maybe God wants you to be the answer to that prayer for change. Maybe this is what it means, yet when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Change does not always look like what we want it to look like. I'm often reminded in our churches when we say, yes, we want to change, but what does that really mean? Maybe it means that what we want is change for the better, but we really don't want to change the way we do things. We don't want to change the way we do church. We want to do things that might make us, we don't want to do things that might make us a little uncomfortable in our life. What we want is church the way we want it, but with all the resources we need and a whole bunch of people around us to do stuff for us. One positive outcome of the COVID pandemic may be that we were forced to change the way we do things in church, like Holy Communion, meeting together in fellowship. This pushed us in directions that we felt uncomfortable with, like worshiping at home and on a screen instead of in public. Things we took for granted that we thought was important to us. But now we know what's really important. At least we know more than we probably did then. We've lost some things. We love communion, but we found out that fellowship with one another meant more than having a shared cup and a shared meal together in close proximity. Amen? How many of you learned that? We learned that our faith could live in spaces that were difficult. Amen? We learned that what was important and some of the things we thought were so important are not so much important. But the real things we missed, like Holy Communion, fellowship with one another, and being the church together in community and in other areas of our lives, are so much more valuable to us. When you miss things, they make them more valuable to us. Every one of you are more important now to me than you ever were before. Every one of you have gone through war with a pandemic, with an evil force behind it to kill, to maim, and destroy. And most of us have survived. Some have not. We lost our brother David to COVID. And I have prayed with many of you who have lost relatives and friends this past year, many of you at the table at the altar after communion, to COVID, to cancer, to heart attacks, victims of war, injustice, or something else. Tragedy hits us when we are least expecting it. That's why we should always be praying for each other, to pray for others always. We never know what's going to happen next. When we're faced with a crisis, we begin to be challenged. What is truly important in your life? What's important in your life? Listen to me. Think about this. What's important in your life? Is family important? Like we read in Jeremiah last week, make the best of the city when you're in it. Make the best of the world situations in which you live every day. Make the best in this world because the world is not always your best friend. As we said last week, Jesus says, yes, you have to live in this world, but you do not have to let the negative influences damage or destroy your faith. If anything, it will make your faith stronger. We're encouraged to be persistent in our commitment to the gospel and our Christian lives, to be consistent in those things that are valuable. Again, what is valuable in your life? Some of you may say family. Is family valuable to you? Is church valuable to you? Are your brothers and sisters that pray for you valuable to you? Are your friends and loved ones valuable to you? Is sharing the love of God outside of these four walls meaningful to you? You, my brothers and sisters, are meaningful to me. And we are valuable to one another. We're told this morning to do what? What are we told to do? We're told to be persistent in our prayers for one another and to pray at all times. To maintain the unity of the faith with the cost of commitment. Remember this. Pray continually and be open to looking for your prayers in unexpected ways and unexpected times. Value what God has put into your life. Use those valuable things to encourage you so that you can become sometimes the arms, the hands, and the feet of your prayers. That your life may be what Jesus says he's looking for when he comes. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Amen.